This morning we're going to have a few people sharing. I've got one or two people organised to share. And I think after the break, then we'll open it up to you guys. Anyone that wants to share anything that's going on, testimony. It could be your salvation. It could be a recent experience. For me, you know, as I was just sitting here, just praising the Lord, I just couldn't help but sense the goodness of God. And, you know, some of you know my background. I come from a very poor background with no parents. And it was only 3 weeks ago we had all of our family, other than the daughter that's in America, 13 in the household, the children and the grandchildren. And I bought a couple of quad bikes. And I've got the big quad bike, and I've got three or four ride-on lawnmowers. So we had the whole lot out in the field, and there was kids going all directions. The quad bikes do about 35 kilometres an hour. And Toby's as mad as a two-bob watch, and he just opens it up and goes up the hill anywhere. And it was great. There was kids flying everywhere. One of them sat on the electric fence, which didn't do too well. We got a five-acre block. And we had the quad bikes out and the tow mowers, and we had just a great time. And my son-in-law, Kiwa, from Palmerston North, has come from a similar background to myself. And, you know, he went home and he said to Jane, he said, "That was such a neat weekend. I want to go back." Before you go back to work, they've just had an addition to the family. And so they came back about last weekend as well, and we got the quad bikes out again, and off we went. So blokes and their toys. But it was great, you know, the blessing of God, to look back and see what you had and to see what God has done now. And I'm a great believer that you try and leave the next generation better off than the previous, whether it be spiritually, morally, financially, whatever it may be. You bless them and help them to grow, and then the next generation on it goes. So I am just totally blessed. And, you know, I was just sitting on the hill the other day, and I must admit, I'm a little bit tearful. I just said, "God, you are so good, what you've done in my life." And there are a lot of people in the world struggling today, but, you know, when we got God with us, and it said, "Having food and raiment, therewith be content." And that's what we need to find. Now, I've got a couple of people here to share. Who did I have? Ken Webb. Where's Ken? Ken's out here, and I've got Colin as well. Thank you, Ken. Ken's going to share. It was a BYO, was it?
I might need it.
Graham sent me an email and asked me if I had something on my heart that I'd like to share, and I certainly did have, and I was only too happy to say yes. I hope that you enjoy what I have. It's more of a teaching than a testimony, although I am a testimony standing here before you. That's a testimony in itself. But before I start, I guess the great place to start would be to pray. And I have got some overheads that I would like someone to volunteer to put up on the... but not quite at the moment, but just shortly, I'll put them over there. They are in order. In order they are. I think I've got myself a wee bit. Oh, they're in here. So well organised, I'm disorganised. That's all right, though. Before I start, I'll pray. That's a good way to start, isn't it? And I have prepared a bit of a prayer here, and I might just deviate from that, but it gives me some grounding, and I need that. I've got to be structured. I don't want to be too structured that I'm not led by the Spirit, of course, but this has been prepared by the Spirit, I can assure you. Ever-loving Heavenly Father, we pray and thank you, and we give all the praise and glory to you this morning. I thank you, Lord, for each and every man that's gathered here in the meeting this morning. And I pray that you, Lord, would bless them, that you, Father, would touch them, that you would lift them up in their spirits. And Lord, I pray a great blessing on their wives and upon their families that they represent. I pray, Lord, that you would bless the chapters and the churches of each of these men that they represent. I pray a spiritual blessing on all of the areas of influence that each one of these men have in the natural and the spiritual realms. I pray increase would come into all of these areas. And Father, I thank you for the opportunity to share with these mighty men of yours just what the Father, just what you, Father, have put in my heart and into my spirit over many years of seeking your will and your purposes. For this, your fellowship, your church, and this end time calling. And what a great privilege it is, Father, to be able to serve you and to live here in this most exciting time when you are pouring out your Spirit upon all people in a greater resurrection power and authority and works of signs and wonders and miracles that have not seen before in this land. And Lord, I look forward to the time when we see even more of the greater works being operated, not just in the fellowship, but also in churches and even in the street corners, Father. We just want to give you a great, thank you and a blessing this morning. We're so grateful to be born in such a time as this. And Father, I just ask your Holy Spirit to speak clearly and fluently through me this morning, and that what I say will be acceptable in your sight, my Lord and my Master. Father, help these saints before me this morning receive out of my mouth only what you have ordained for their hearts and spirits to receive. I pray all these things in Jesus' lovely name. And all the men said, Amen. Amen. And I've got 25 minutes, I think, or 23 minutes. So I'll just put that there to remind me that I don't go over time. I had a testimony to share at the start of this meeting, but I had to wipe that because there's just not enough time to share what I have to share, and I can cut off at the time I need to be sensitive to what the rest of the meeting is doing. So I can do that at any time. We've got a overhead here. Yeah. Where are we? First of all, put the first overhead up, and I'll read the scripture that I have based on today. Foundations and roots. Roots and foundations. They're so important. I've only just come to realize how important these are, just to this revelation that has been sharing, the Lord's been sharing with me over the last couple of years. Jesus told all the people, plus his disciples, and all that all foundations and roots. He taught about it and he stressed how important these are. And I'll read the scriptures for you this morning that I've got. And to build on firm foundations, on solid rock ones. So we go to Matthew 7, 24 to 27. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the waters descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for its foundations were on the rock. Now everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. And in Psalm 11:3 says, if the foundations are being destroyed, what can the righteous do, or what can the righteous one accomplish? That's Jesus. And Haggai 2:18 says, give careful thought to the day when the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid. And it stresses again in that scripture, as you'll read it, give careful thought. So it expresses it twice, so it's very important to give careful thought to the foundations. These foundations, or these scriptures, have been a challenge to us all, I believe, or can be, because it's not talking about the church, I believe, but also our personal foundations and natural foundations and our spiritual foundations are so important. And it can also be telling us about the church foundations, and it is, and our fellowship's foundations. And that's what I'm going to really base my teaching around today, is our fellowship. That's very precious to me and precious to you guys. To be here, it must be, and I know that. And I felt the Spirit just lift this morning as we sang those worship songs, and it was so lovely to be back here with the men that love the Lord so much, and you can feel that in the meeting. So I believe that we need to look at these foundations and see that they're built on the solid foundations that they should be. And the Lord wants me to share this morning about that. I'm sorry that I'm breaking away from tradition. I know that the first meeting at these conventions, there's usually a joke or two, and I'm sorry that I have to break away from that because they just don't work for me. I love jokes and I love the humour of the men, and over the years I've just enjoyed the humour and the comical sayings and things like that, but they don't work for me, so I'm just going to stick to what I'm good at, the serious stuff. So, about a couple of months ago, I've been struggling over the church and over the fellowship for a number of years and watching it dwindle and watching churches dwindle. And I happened to be in a meeting with Rodney Francis just, what would it be, about 6 months ago, I suppose. And I says, I've been struggling, to know what to do and what's happening, you know. So I was a bit down about what was happening at Full Gospel. And he says, well, take this book. And I've got a bit of a book review, and I'm going to put up a few excerpts out of it. I brought 20 of these books with me. They're only $2 each, but I think they're worth about, I don't know, $100, I guess. When I read this book, I was moved to bring this teaching today, and also moved in my heart that it's so important to go back to our foundations. And I know you're thinking, oh, we've been down that road before, we've had these, but I'm going to speak on a different type of foundation that you won't have even heard probably before, and it's on, I can assure you that as we go through it. So if anyone wants to take on and read the more a bigger explain, I'm just taking bits out of this and bits out of the happiest people on earth and what have you. So if you could put that next one up, this is only the extracts out of that book, and there's just a few of them that I've picked. When the foundations, Psalm 11:3. In this book, it has it a bit in the Amplified, I'd say. But when the foundations, the bases and purposes are being destroyed, pulled down, broken up, thrown and overthrown and ruined, what can the righteous do? And I'm going to probably read Ephesians 2:20 when it says that the foundations of the church, and I guess the foundations of Full Gospel were built upon the apostles and their prophets as well, as I'll show you later on. The tragedy today is that many churches and fellowships are in decline because over time they have moved away from their God-given purpose and they have evolved into something different to which they were raised up by God in the first place. Today, numbers of churches and many fellowships are in decline because they have not understood the importance of continually building upon the apostolic roots and the prophetic foundations. The Holy Spirit must be listened to and heeded to if we're going to fulfill his purpose for his church and his fellowship today. The foundations have been built, they'll be destroyed. And Haggai says again in this book, be careful, give careful thought to the day when the foundations of the Lord's temple was laid. Give careful thought. It is, and in this book it is vitally important that your church and your fellowships and their leaders know their roots and their foundations and the purpose of God for their particular church and fellowship. And that's the end of the quotes out of that wee book. But there's a foundation laid there that'll show you Rodney's experience with churches around New Zealand, they're in decline, and he can pinpoint, and he does in the book, where they were laid and where they've evolved into something different from what they were really designed to do. And I think Full Gospel has done that. And as I'll point out, most churches that exist in the world today were originally formed on the apostolic foundations and movements, but unfortunately they've lost their way. I don't know which one was the first one that came right around the world like wildfire, but I guess it was probably way back in the Salvation Army days. It just went right around the world in a matter of a few years. And then we had, thank you, brother, and then we had the other apostolic moves in New Zealand. We had the charismatic move and the Pentecostal move, and we had new life. It went right around New Zealand in a matter of years. And then we had the Elim, I guess, and then apostolic and vineyard. But they stopped. What stopped them? You know, they should never have stopped. They started to lose their focus and just become inward-looking and inward-growing. And Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship, if you know anything about what happened to that, and I'll share a wee bit out of the book of Demas Shakarian's book shortly. It went right round the world in a very, very short time, and it went round New Zealand in a very, very short time. But then it stopped, and then it started dwindling back. So it's evolved, you see, as Rodney pointed out in his book there. In the early days, the Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship was the front runners, or the forerunners in the spirit realm. A lot of the churches didn't even know about the Spirit, let alone speak about it or demonstrate it. And Full Gospel have that heritage of being the forerunners, and I believe they should be still today, the forerunners, because God is still moving, He's changing, and He's doing more new things. And we need to hop on board and show the people that God is alive and well in this country. So I go back to my second book, which is The Happiest People on Earth. And when I was reading Rodney's book, I thought, well, I have to look at the foundations of Full Gospel. And I go back to the very first meeting that Oral Roberts and Demas Shakarian had. And I quote out of page 129. "Yes, don't you see," said Oral, "every word is necessary in the Full Gospel, and that means no subject should be avoided at our meetings. Healing, tongues, deliverance, whatever the speaker's experience he can talk about, just has to happen." And that's the end of the quote. And that could mean demons, of course, and angels, and rides on charities, well, that too, but rides on chariots. We had the pleasure of having Ian Johnson come and share with us, and I was very keen to have Ian. I'd known Ian for a number of years. And he shared on at our chapter about angels and riding on chariots and what he'd seen and what the angels had shown him and told him and one thing and another. But it's interesting. Some people said, "Oh no, we can't have that because there's bad angels. You know, there's the black angels and things like that." And this is a Full Gospel Businessmen's meeting. You know, it's crazy. But because here we go back to the original Simon. This man's experience should be able to be shared. You know, because it's not everyone's experience. We're not in that place. If we saw angels, we might freak out or something. But he's open to see them, and they know that he's open, so they come to him. So, but some people say, "Oh, you shouldn't upset Mrs. Brown or Mr. Gray." You know, and it's ridiculous, really. However, that's just a point on the sideline that you need to probably take on board in your fellowships too, because these guys have got precious testimonies to bring, and I think we need to hear them, new things that God is doing. But I'll go quickly to another book which I want to, promote, and I got this. This is the older variety, but it's the same book but in a different cover. I've had this for a number of years, and I've valued it so much. This is probably, I call it, Demas Shakarian's last will and testimony, because he believed that the fellowship needed to change, because he could see it going to where it shouldn't be going. You know, it was too structured and too not going in the direction that it should go. And I'm going to read quite a number of pages or parts of this particular book. I've got it on the overhead. If you'd like to put the first one up again on that. And it's taken straight out of the book. I haven't altered anything to it. He's put things underlined and things in big print, so it's just as it's come out of this book. As you can see there, extracts from Demas Shakarian's book, New Wave of Revival, The Vision Intensified. His last advice to Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship International, and what he felt the Lord was saying to him. And he starts off, "Dear partner, these are not mere words I'm writing. They are revelations from God. Heed them, pray over them. They are not my words, but from the throne room of God. And you've probably read this book. Some of you have read this book. I'm going to point out something you haven't seen before, I believe. We must once again become yielded, obedient, prepared vessels, willing to seek God in prayer and fasting, and willing to do what he wants us to do. It is through my own prayer and fasting that God has led me to write this book to you today. He told me, Demas, take the fellowship back to its spiritual roots, foundations again. Lead these men in the new wave of revival. God has revealed to me that in this book I must retell the original full gospel vision from the prophet's perspective. He has shown me that most men know the facts of the vision, but not full understanding the spirit. In those original times, no matter how many times you have heard or read about our humble beginnings, and we go to page 9, the spirit seemed to say, I do not want big centralized organizations. Come together on occasion as collective groups, like they are conventions, to inspire and encourage each other, to light the fire bright enough for many to see. But for our day-to-day, year-in I want you small, local, and sensitive to me, Holy Spirit, of course. I do not want uniformity. I will never take two men to two places in just the same way. Give me outlets for my infinite variety. So the Clifton meetings became 4 groups, then 5 groups, then 10, and chapters sprang out all over Los Angeles. In 1982, there were 60 chapters in Los Angeles area alone, and 3,000 chapters around the world. Apostolic, I'd say. Are we apostolic today, spreading out chapters all over the place? We're actually in decline. And our foundations were built on apostolic lines. And it's not that we don't want to. You're saying to me, oh, we can't even get enough members in our own chapter. I'm just saying I think we need a mind change and a spirit change in our thinking. And looking, as soon as we look for somewhere where we can plant, the Lord will supply the men. But if we're not looking for it to move out, why should he try to build a big church or a mega church? God's not into that. He's always been into spreading out in Jerusalem, Judea, and the ends of the earth. And this is the spirit we need to have in our spirits, get that into us. This is what Demas was really saying in here. Some are demonstrative. This is what the different speakers. Some are demonstrative. Some are reserved. Some stress teaching. Others healing, evangelism, and youth work. Every chapter and every meeting is different. Let the Holy Spirit control the meeting. Be open to the Holy Spirit. I thank God for every man, woman, and child that has been somewhere touched by God's love, God's forgiveness, and God's saving grace through this fellowship. But in this time and in this hour, that is not enough. It is a time to get your eyes off the past, and it is time to stop talking about how much we have accomplished and start prayerfully seeking God to what he wants to do now and what he wants for the future. And I've got one wee bit more in there as well out of page 12, just at the end of that. But beloved, the vision is people, the vision is God's Holy Spirit changing lives, the vision is God breaking the chains of the devil and setting the captives free. Men and women who were ice cold become alive and miraculously linked in praise and adoration to God through the power of Jesus Christ. That's the vision intensified. And I know that I've asked Len to bring a number of these books. Please buy them. They're not very dear either. I think they're about $3 or something like that. It's just a crazy price, really. But your men need to read them, and read them with eyes of the apostolic understanding that God wants to do in this fellowship and spread out and cover the earth. I don't know where I am now, but anyway, it doesn't matter too much. The future, I believe, that the church, and as we know it, will change from the system that has been operating for many years, and even the fellowship, I believe, it has to change as well. We're cloning people in seminaries. I think that's probably the last overhead I think I've got. I might have another one. Have I got another one there called Roots and Foundations? Yeah, I'll put that up and I'll read that before I start on this then. That'll be fine. So we go back to the roots of the church that Jesus Christ has ordained to be built. And we go to Ephesians 2, 19 and 20. It also gives us some more instruction about our foundations of our church and our fellowship and how we're meant to build according to God's plan, building plan and instructions. And we pick it up in verse 19. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers or foreigners, but you are now fellow citizens and saints, God's own people, consecrated, set apart for himself, and you are members who belong to God's own household, having built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and with Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. If the foundations are being destroyed, and I'll read this again, what can the righteous do? Or what can he, the righteous one, accomplish? What can Jesus accomplish if the foundations aren't in place and aren't being operated and we're being built on that solid rock? We have an obligation today, I believe, to be apostolic in our thinking and in our actions. If the church was doing everything that it was supposed to do in the last 2,000 years, the world would have been saved 10 times over, I believe. So, as I was saying, we're cloning people in our seminaries to teachers are teaching people to be teachers, and they go out and teach people just teach, and they don't teach the whole gospel, the fivefold ministries, not in our churches today. Or they teach pastors and the pastors, and so we're not getting the full value of what Christ has got for us in our churches. And the pattern's wrong. It's a flat pattern. It should be a pyramid pattern, a fivefold equipping and sending and planting. That's what it was designed through that scripture in Ephesians. Just all about churches and fellowships are built on the pyramid system, and I'll share that in a minute. As full gospels become a bit of a pyramid system, each individual believer or should be responsible to the government of Jesus, the giftings that the government has released within us, the government authority into this earth. The true apostolic government is a flat management structure and not a pyramid one. It should be about equipping, maturing, mentoring and releasing the church and not holding it in bondage. I believe that the churches are held in bondage. I believe that full gospel to some degree is held in bondage too. Thank you, brother. What's your name again?
Ray.
Can you help me out? I'll just turn that off in a minute. And can you help me out in something else? I want to explain it in a practical way. I'm a practical person more than a theologian. one of them fellas. I was wondering if we could just do a practical demonstration. I'd like you to go around, and as quick as you can, when I tell you, go around and touch every man. Just touch him. And perhaps you could stand up. Might make it easier. Because he's got to go up the rows, probably. I'll just take a time to see how long it takes him to do this. I'll give you the time. I want to count in seconds. Right, you're away then, Ray? Just go around and touch every man as quick as you can, just up the rows. Yeah, that's about all it'll take. Just as quick as you can, even if you've got to run over the chairs. Thirty seconds, come on. You can go. You can run faster than that. That'll do, right? So it's taken 1 minute and 15 seconds. I want you to come back again. 1 minute and 20 seconds now. I want to come back again, and I want every man to stand, and as Ray touches you, I want you to turn around and touch as many men beside you and behind you. Just you start up, and you just go up this row and back round that row. If you go straight along here, right along the front, quick as you can, and each man touch as many men as you can. And I want every man touched. All right, that's it. That's it, every man touched. It took 1 minute and 20 seconds for one man to go around and touch everybody. It took about 15 seconds for every man to be touched. And this is what I'm talking about, a flat-built system or a pyramid-built system. Pyramid-built system won't reach people the way that a flat-built system will. And that's what Full Gospel was built on, was a flat-built system to go out and spread out and touch everyone. So I want you to see that in your spirits today and get a grasp of it. And please, buy the books. If you haven't got them, buy this and buy this one here. It's only $2. And I'll have them for sale, and I'll probably put them over. If there's any left, I'll put them on the table over there after. So thank you much for allowing me to share that. I just feel so strongly about where we're heading and where we've got to head. And we've got to do it. Thank you.
Yeah, interesting. A lot of what Ken's talking about, I've been thinking about, particularly over the last month. It was about 8 or 10 days ago I flew up to Beijing, and so it's about a 13, 14, 15-hour flight. And I had the book, The Happiest People on Earth, with me. I thought, I'm going to read this. I normally like to watch the movies, you know, because that's the only time I don't go to the movies. And then I'm going to read the book. So I sat down, I started to read it, and I read it right through nonstop. Well, I'm one of these people, when I read a book, I don't read it again, other than the Bible. But I've read it. And I started to read it, you know, something in my spirit got me excited. Now, Noel here, he's like Wyatt Earp. He takes his Happiest People on Earth everywhere he goes, and there's so much of a flicker, he's in. Yeah, he pulls out that book. He's got it, always got it with him. But I read it again, and there was something exciting about it. And, you know, I was challenged, just like Ken was saying, you know, how far have we drifted from our roots? Who are we? And in my report that I'll read tomorrow at the annual general meeting, I'll be talking about some of the things that Ken has actually talked about, because we have moved away from our roots. Now, we are Full Gospel Business and Fellowship International. We are an outreach to business professional people primarily, but to all men. It's not just exclusively, but that was our thrust. Read the book. I'll get the pages marked. Reaching business people. And, you know, it's welcome to anybody. But, yeah, we've come back in. And, you know, the gifts of the Spirit, we don't see the movie so much now. I'm not a person, I don't feel that I have great gifts out the front or anything like that. And I was reading about Dima Shikarian. And they said, come and talk in the stadium in Los Angeles or Texas or wherever it was. He said, I'm not a public speaker. Yeah, this is the guy that was the start of the foundation. But like Ken said, everywhere he went, the Spirit went ahead of him. And when we go to conferences in Singapore and Hong Kong, and we meet the guys who met Demos, when they talk about it, they whisper, oh, I remember when Demos came in 1976. You know, they still hold the man in awe. But I've never met him, but the guys tell me he wasn't a guy that came out and just laid hands and 500 fell over. That wasn't him. But he had this mantle that the Holy Spirit had given him, and he just took it, and it just went round the world. Now, we're a different fellowship today to what we were perhaps in 1976. But there's still exciting things happening. And I saw the report come through. I think, I don't know whether Ken put it through, about the gentleman that toured the South Island. And I was reading about people taking trips to heaven and going on chariots. I said, whoa, man, I've been 20 years at the Brethren. I'm not too sure if I can find that in the Word anywhere. And then I saw on the end, and we had 14 salvations. I thought, hello, back your horse up, mate. 14 salvations, some of it may not be quite your cup of tea because of your background, but there's 14 salvations. You better back up a little bit and just start to rethink. You know, and we're all different dominations here from different backgrounds, and some are like this and some are like that and some won't like the other thing. But in the end, you know, I'm learning to lay aside some of the prejudices I have and maybe things that I don't understand and just put them on the shelf. So I don't understand that. Maybe I will later on. I remember my first meeting I ever went to Full Gospel Business and Fellowship. Vin Plummer took me in the back of a car. And it was, I remember it was a Ford Falcon he had in those days. He was a wool buyer. And we went out to Hastings. And I was brethren, and they'd conned me into this thing, and they finally got me. And I was in the back, squeezed in between three guys, so I couldn't get out. And I went up there, and I found out later what was Adrian Blom was sharing. And I'm very, very critical. And they got some fella up there, and he had been, a little guy, I remember him, and he had been sick as a dog, and his lungs are gone, his legs are gone, he was laying in bed. And a ball of fire came through the window and settled on a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, then settled on his heart, and he was bawling his eyes out, and they wheeled him off like this. You know, I thought, good grief, I'm not sure I can handle this, because, you know, we ain't emotional, not where I come from. And then Adrian got up, and that was good. And we were in the back of a car going home, and I remember Van was saying, you know, the best place that I do my sharing is in the pub. And I'm brethren background, alcohol's out. You know, I'm not coming back here. It was 5 years before I came back again. But well, look at me now, here I am, what am I doing here? I think God's got a great sense of humour. But a lot of things, you know, we don't understand. And if you encounter that, just put it on the shelf and say, Lord, what are you teaching me? He may just be testing your patience. You know, sometimes you start to talk to a person and they stand on your ecclesiastical toes and you feel, and you're ready to blow. And because something's happened, the Lord's just saying, hey, you've got to learn to accept the other brother where he's at. And there's a lot of folk that I meet, and I can't understand where they're coming from. You know, and these guys will be the same. But that's okay. That's fine. Put it on the shelf. The Lord will open it up and reveal it to you later on. So that's the wonderful thing about this fellowship. It is apostolic. There are people all over the country. There are exciting things happening. And, you know, 14 salvations, was it last month, Ken? Well, I think it was last month that it happened, wasn't it? A couple of months ago. Isn't that great? Good things are happening in the fellowship. But we've got to get back to our roots and back to the foundations of where we are. And, you know, I might say some things tomorrow that some of you guys may not be business people and say, well, to heck with him, I'm retired, or, you know, I'm a street sweeper or whatever. That doesn't mean it. We're not talking about excluding anybody. We're just saying, as a fellowship, what is our target market? It's to all men, but specifically it's to a sector. And if you read the book right through, get a hold of the happiest people on earth and read it again like I did the other day. I sat there and I read the book cover to cover. And I was just so excited about what had happened. It was back in the 1970s. And sure, the world has changed, the marketplace has changed, but God is still doing good things. And maybe the way we approach things will be different, but the foundations are always the same.
I'm not totally sure what I'm going to share yet, but basically about 6 weeks ago, we were praying for Full Gospel, and at that time, I saw a vision of a wave that was breaking. It had broken, and the last of it was running up the beach. Now, there was another wave forming, and this was a beautiful wave forming. Behind it, there was nothing. There was just flat, calm sea with sun shining on it. But now, we are that old wave, and we're breaking on the beach. Now, are we going to be run up the beach and leave room for this new wave to come, or are we going to go back like the backwash and actually try and stop it coming in? It's up to us to get off our butts and actually assist this new wave to come in. We've got to stop the complacency that we've been in. We've got to actually get ourselves together and push. We've got to push forward, and we've got to really get down on our knees and seek the Lord and find out where the Lord would have us to go. What Ken shared this morning on getting back to our foundations, back to our roots, and finding out exactly what the Lord wants us to do is absolutely crucial. We haven't done it. We have totally failed to do it. We need to get down on our knees and spend time there to find out how we can bring this new wave into being, because Full Gospel's got a huge role to play in this nation. And unless we get out and do it, that wave is just going to be destroyed, and it won't have the impact or the influence that it should do. We have got to get on our knees, seek the Lord, and find out what we are to do, and get new blood into the show, and get it on the road. We're all grey-headed, just about, with a few exceptions.
Mercedes silver,
is it?
Mercedes silver.
Yeah. But basically, it's up to us to get this new wave up and running. And I really believe that that's the challenge the Lord has got for us at this time. Thank you.
Bruce is just going to share. There was an article in the paper the other day, quite a big spread with a picture of Bruce, and Bruce has just written a book, which has been published. And we want to encourage people within the fellowship, even though it's not a sort of a Christian-type book, but we want to encourage people in the fellowship that have got talents, that have achieved things. And so, Bruce, just come and share.
I must be the smallest delegate here, gentlemen, right? Anyway, it's just... Yeah, amen. We are deemed to be the happiest people on earth, right, men? Amen. And I want to recall to you, and I know it'll resonate to you, your background of the 50s, a wonderful era, post-war. And I wanted to get a message out to the children of today, right, 21st century children, and information about how we lived, all right, the sort of deer-type activities that we went through. Harmless stuff, good fun. And just to let them know as to how we lived before the advent of TV, computers, PlayStations. So there's the book. Special charge for you guys is $19.99. I've got the wee table over there. You're welcome to buy one. It'll just blow you away because you'll resonate with this. You'll identify with the background that I have shared in this book, and I'm sure you're going to enjoy reflecting back on those days. Amen. Thank you.
Bill's a great guy. He's from Geelong, which is in Victoria, which is in Australia. And I've been meeting Bill over the last, three or four years, going up to the conferences there, and it's just been a joy to see the guys up there and just have fellowship with people outside of New Zealand and all around the place. So, Bill, just share what's going on and some of the challenges you've got. And...
Thanks, Bruce, for setting this microphone. Perfect. Well, it's beautiful to be here. And I just want to thank Graham for the many times that he's crossed the Tasman to come and say good day to us. And I just felt the Lord was putting it on my heart to come over and support him as well. And it's been a real blessing, actually. And it's great that my friend Gray, Doug Gray and his wife, Pauline, has been able to come as well. I was looking for a partner to come. So it's just wonderful to be here, guys. And it's great to be in an enthusiastic bunch of people. I love what you had to share this morning. And as I get more and more involved in listening and looking back at what Demas was all about, it's exciting to see that vision intensified because he left us with something else. And, of course, that was all part of God's plan. But... you know, when I first became the national president a couple of years ago, the office was in Adelaide. And when we left it there for about a year, and about a year ago it came to my town in Geelong in Victoria. And when the boys rang me up, we sent a truck over to pick everything up, pick the whole office up. And the boys rang me up and said, there's a heap of boxes here. What do you want us to do with them? We can't get them on. We got all the cupboards and everything in, and there's a heap of boxes and old tapes and videos. What do you want to do with them? We just want to toss them because they hadn't been opened up for years. And I said, toss the wardrobes and bring the boxes, because the previous president had said to me many times, there's these boxes. We need to go through these boxes, and he never did. And I actually made a trip to go over there one day to go through the boxes, but we ended up doing something else. And I remembered when... I'm glad they rang me, because in the last few... And they've sat there for another year in boxes. But in the last few weeks, I've opened up those boxes and I've started stacking them into some shelves that we bought. And I took some of them home. I've been taking a bunch of videos home and watching them, and some of that stuff is powerful stuff. We have lost the ball in the long grass, and nobody bothered to look for it anymore, and we started a new game. That's what's happened. And when I heard that, that gentleness of Demas, and I'd never heard Demas speak before, and Bernie Gray sent me a small CD of Demas last year because when we opened our national conference, I wanted him to open it. And I wanted Demas to open it. And I found something and put it up on the screen. And but now I've heard a lot more. And there was such a gentleness in that man's. The Holy Spirit had to go before him because in himself he was very inadequate, just like me. And I feel comfortable when I listen to Demas. I really do. I think, oh, man, you know, I didn't put myself in this position. It just God did. And I'd prefer to be in a cave than stand up here and speak to you blokes. But we can't do that because he gives us something that we need to share. And so as I start to listen to these videos, I found a bloke to put some of the videos on DVD. And then I looked at those DVDs and I got excited about them and I thought, I'll send them around the country. And then I looked at the suits they wore and the sideburns and thought, these guys. And I thought, okay, well, I'll put them on CD. And when I listen to them on CD, they're so relevant, exactly what we need today, because they face the same issues as we have today. And so it's exciting to get some of those, and I'll send some of them over to you, because Demas is, you know, it's global, mate. And it was just terrific to listen to that stuff and start to understand. You know, he shared about when he was a little boy and how the Lord was beginning to work on something, and the stories that he sat around and Oral Roberts and early, very early evangelist. He was just a teenage kid, and he shared how he was, you know, very sick and he was deaf, and the Lord healed him. And he thought, well, if he can do that to me, he can do it with others. And he began to feel the need to go around and share and touch people. So it's beautiful stuff, and he sort of hands the mantle over to us. To each chapter president and to the state leaders, he hands it over. It's like it's not mine. It's just I'm just sharing it. You know, it's not something he had. He never said, you know, he was the founder. It was always we're all in this thing together. And I just encourage you guys. There's exciting stuff. We just need to pick up. How many chapter presidents here today? Put your hand up. Okay. Each one of us has got to recognize that we've been called to this thing. Someone may have at some stage threw the baton in the air and ran away and you grabbed it before it hit the ground. But you got to realise that you didn't catch it by accident. Some of us feel like we got it by accident, but we didn't. And so you have to step into that position. You have to make a decision to step into it. And when you do, the Lord will give you the tools by the power of the Holy Spirit to do the things with your personality. It doesn't come from anybody else. You've been selected for this. It is your destiny to be part of what you're doing today. And some of you guys are thinking, I've been in this position for so long and I haven't done much and I'm going to hand it to somebody else. And who's there? You know, you're looking around for someone you can hand it to and do a runner. But you haven't finished your job yet. So get down with God and find out. You've got to run the last race in your life and make sure you hand it over strong, because that's what I feel I have to do in this fellowship. I have to hand it over strong. I can't give it weak to another leader. He's got to take it from there and build it strong again. Okay, so that's the fellowship we're in. Now, last year, I decided to find out where we are, because all I was hearing was chapters closing down, guys leaving, all this sort of stuff. And I thought, are we doing anything? The guys are telling us we're not doing much. So for the very first time since I've recognised it, I said to my secretary, righto, write a letter to every state, every chapter, every state leader, every chapter, and find out what they've done. We're not here to slap them around or tell them, you know, you haven't done enough. It's not about that. We just want to gather information. Last year, we had 240 meetings around the country. We had 10,200 people come to our meetings. And we had 155 souls, first-time decisions. We're effective. We're doing our job. We'd love to do more, but we're doing our job. So we need to recognise that the fellowship does what it's been designed to do. Maybe it's doing a little bit at a slower pace. Some of us like to go a little bit harder. I know you and me, we're the same. We want to go a little bit harder. But that's okay. The thing is, we're doing our job. Let's sharpen the tools a little bit so they make a bit more of an impact. And that's what this is all about. Praise the Lord, guys.
That's encouraging, isn't it, when you look around and you think you're struggling a little bit. Oh, that's what I've grown since then. And you're struggling a little bit out there and you're not seeing too much, but then something happens and we don't feel adequate for the job. I mean, when I was asked to be national president, oh, my goodness gracious. But, you know, I knew before I was asked to be national president, I knew 3 months beforehand. I was sitting in the meeting on the national board and they talked to Alex and saying, well, Alex, you're going to stand, you know, for another term and so on. And I forget what happened. He said, oh, yeah, you're going on, that's right. And I went home and I said, you know, I said, Lynn, I think God wants me to be the national president. I said, what do you think? And she pulled out a scroll of all the things that were wrong with me. And I thought, well, I've probably got 3 to 5 years to sort that out. That'll be okay. And then next month we meet. Alex says, I'm not standing. I don't feel to stand. I thought, oh, no. I knew. And I didn't say a thing. And then one by one, the other guys came to me and said, look, we feel you're the person to be the national president. But I knew 3 months before. And I don't feel adequate to do it. I really struggle with myself. I mean, my background and everything else. I got 18% for school C maths. And I used to fossick on the rubbish dump till I was the age of 13 years of age. You got a rag and bone man for the national president. Goodness gracious. Yeah. I can find junk anywhere and turn it into treasures, mate, you know, great stuff. But, you know, God does it. So as Bill says, you know, you guys that are presidents and you're doing things, you're working away, look around for other guys you can get alongside of you. And that's one of the things I'll probably talk about a bit tomorrow. But don't want to take time up because we've got Colin to come over here, Colin, and we want to get a few of you guys before 12 o'clock just to share a bit. And we're going to have something else after lunch as well, so that'll be really good. Colin, come on up. So, you know, the good thing is that we can use the body of Christ. Everyone's got something to share. And whether it's a little bit or a bigger bit or whatever it might be, and we've all got different gifts and talents. So come on, Colin, just come and share with us. And what did how long go for, about 10, 15 minutes or something?
The president gave me a watch. Amen. How many people are excited? Amen. Amen. We're not defeated, are we? Are we sure? Amen. It's interesting... Hey, Ben. It's interesting what Ken shared this morning. I've never met Ken, but I've been talking to Garth about the same thing for a year, my president, and I believe it's right. Brother Keith Winston just talked about something. I believe it's what God is saying. Amen? We're here. Every one of you has a specific purpose, far greater than mine. But we are here, this age group, we are here to mentor the younger businessmen in this nation to ride the surfboard on this last wave. If you're too old and you think you can't do it, then ask God to take you away. It'll be great in glory. If you're too young and you're not up to it, then ask God to raise you up. Amen. There are no excuses. There are no excuses, guys. Amen. There's no energy in the scrum unless they lock together. You know what I'm saying? Doesn't matter how big the locks are, it's where the grunt comes from. And the grunt in full gospel comes from the Holy Ghost. Amen? And we're called to release one another into what God has called us to do. Amen? Come on, get encouraged. The national president's going to speak to you tomorrow and he might have a bigger stick than I've got. Amen? But he's got something to say because I believe he hasn't told me this himself, but I sense in Graham Eagle that he's had the same concern and desire in his heart for this nation, for the business world. Amen? Everybody's telling us that there's adversity out there. Where there's adversity, there's opportunity. Amen? I'm not recessed. God's not in recession. Amen? But if you pray about the recession, then you're going to get recession. Pray about the promise. He said, I'll teach you to rob the devil's house. Hey? Well, there's a double blessing for the Australians. We know that. God loves them. But it's... amen. And I say that, brother, I say that in the nicest term. I have in my spirit the last few months, I've been thinking deeply about the Anzac spirit. And in the last fortnight, I was looking at something recently, and it was interesting when they broke out of El Alamein. Montgomery said this. He said, I need the Australians on the right flank and I need the Kiwis on the left, because he said, when we tried to break out last time, the English collapsed in the centre. Now, don't get me wrong, if you're English, God will deliver you and he loves you. Amen. But that's a natural thing. But I'll tell you what, in the spirit today, it's a reality. And coming up here this morning, I'd had Graham's email. It takes me about a week to get him out of there, or I've got to get somebody else to get him out. It's a nonsense. I don't understand a thing, but it works. But the Lord spoke to me, and when Ken got up this morning and started to speak here, the Lord spoke to me again about this scripture out of Deuteronomy, guys. It's 20 verse 20, and it says this. Only the trees which you know are fruit trees you shall destroy, and not fruit trees you shall destroy and cut down, that you may construct siege works against a city that is making war with you until it falls. There's a city out there right now that's trying to besiege us. Amen? And if you know those trees that you see are not good, they don't bear fruit, then cut them down. But understand this, the siege works he's talking about is when we take up a position, we will not be defeated. We will not be surrounded. Amen? We're called to what? We're called to go forward. Amen? I want to encourage you. You're in the airborne division, the greatest division there ever was, and you're seated and you're supplied from above. You're always surrounded. We never go back. We do not give in. We're going forward. We're on this wave. We have something to do. Let's not sit here. I don't like stagnating. Amen? I'm not going to have the next birthday. Amen? Come on, guys. We can do this thing. But I need you guys. You need me. I need you. We need each other. You know, God loves the Chatham Islands. That's why he sent Colin there. Amen? Guys, I really, it's such a privilege to be alive today. And for me, Psalm 116, verse 8 and 9 is amazing. That's been my life. You know, even though I died, I walked in the valley of the living, and I still today. You know, none of us are exempt, and I was really enraged when I when I received the message about Keith and his wife. I tell you what, we're not having it. We're not in the trenches. We're going ahead. We're not going to stand for this. Well, I'm not. We're going to war. You know, worship is the gunfire of God. Do you understand that, men? Worship is the gunfire of God. It's the artillery. He said when he was going down to battle with the people, I don't have enough men. He said, leave those. You only need 300. And he said, I'll show you where to set the ambush. And he took the 300 worshippers and he set the ambush. And he didn't take the one nation. He took the lot. When men come and you worship, and I'm not talking about singing praise songs and saying this is good. I'm talking about the Holy Ghost. When you open up and you begin to sing, and the Dabar word of God begins to drive from within you, you will hear the sound of the army, the cadence. You will hear it marching. I tell you, there's something here right now. We have a season in the body of Christ when the window of heaven is open, and those who come that were created, we're spirit people that were created to worship and fellowship with the living God. Not tell him how good we think he is and all around the areas, but to come into the throne room. He said, I'm sick of all the chippy packets that there are out in the courtyard. You know what I'm saying? He says, you come into the outer courtyard and you have a little feed and then you go away. He said, when my son died, I opened the doorway. I know I'm talking very naturally here, but I'll tell you what, it's profound. God says, come into the hithermost. Come in here. You know, will you go in and sup with him? What are you going to say to him in glory? If you can't sup with him here on earth, what are you going to say to him when you get to glory? Well, I was going to talk to you one time, Jesus, but I stayed out. And what we do today, I'm telling you, it's an area the enemy uses, is worship. Amen. We begin to worship inside the structures that we have. God bless them and knock them down, hallelujah. We begin to worship. And suddenly the Spirit of God moves, and as soon as it begins to move, and people begin to open up and start to worship, they immediately go straight to another song. Notice that? They go straight back out into the courtyard. When men worship together, and I mean they open up and they begin to sing in the Holy Ghost. When was the last time you saw men dancing in your fellowship on a Sunday when you're having praise and worship? Hey? 1984 was the last time I saw men, I'm telling you. Worship is the gunfire of God. Before any of the armies go out to battle, they used to send the worshippers before him. It's apostolic. Why is that? Because it's a gift of the Spirit. See, there's a tremendous mindset in the body of Christ today to speak against the things of the Spirit, saying, oh, those Pentecostal church did that. There is no Pentecostal church. I'll tell you why. Jesus is not into adultery. If there's a Pentecostal church, then he's going to marry several wives. He's coming back for one bride. So you're saying he's coming on Monday for the Anglicans, he's coming on Tuesday for the Roman Catholics. No, but this is a nonsense. Seriously, men, this is a nonsense. There's only one body in Christ. There's no denominations. Because he's only going to marry one bride. Amen? I'm telling you. And on the day of Pentecost, in the book of Acts 2:4, it said, when the wind breathed on him, Jesus Christ himself breathed upon those people. Oh, I don't agree with that. That's good. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And if it was the Holy Ghost that fell on the day of Pentecost, then that's a part of Jesus himself, is it not? Come on. Yeah. Go home and talk to the vicar about that. Send an email to the deacons. But that's the truth. That is the reality. Without the empowering Spirit of God in you guys, we cannot go over the top. It's the fuel from heaven. It's the jet fuel. Amen? We're living in a spiritual bastion right now. We're surrounded. We've got to go forward. There's no going back. Amen? Every one of you people has an amazing job to do in God. You're so anointed you haven't realized you've been appointed. And I'm not saying that to be a clown. I'm not saying that to be a clown. But you've got to really understand that. People say, how do you understand the spiritual calling? I said, well, it's so natural I don't understand it. It's so spiritual I don't naturally believe it. But that's the reality of it. Do you know what I'm saying? Jesus today is the Son of the living God, and he was a carpenter. You know, that a man from Nazareth would walk all that way just for me, a bulldozer driver from the 40 mile. Hey, crumbs, as bunged up as I was, he walked all that way. That one carpenter walked all that way for me. How much more? Today we say, oh, we don't know how to reach these young people. We don't have to reach them. We're called to be carriers of light. You won't have to tell them about the gospel. They'll come up and say, what about your faith? They'll start to talk to you because the gift in you will make it the way. It'll make it. There is a road inside of you. Amen? In your heart, in your Zion, there's a road inside of you. And right parallel to that, there's a river of living water. The Spirit. People say, oh, well, you know, we give so much. Yeah, we do. We're a great nation of givers. We're a great ministry of givers. But we got to learn to be receivers. Amen. Why did you do that, bro? Because God told me to, and you don't like me now. Why is that? Oh, now I've got the opportunity to talk to you about the real deal. Oh, I don't hear the Holy Spirit. Well, that's a nonsense. If you say you don't hear it, you've obviously heard something in the Spirit. Amen. See how stupid this thing is? Every one of you men can hear the Holy Ghost speaking to you right now. Amen? Don't ever think, you're not deaf in God. God's got the biggest set of hearing aids you've ever seen. No, seriously, men, come on. The Spirit of God is speaking to us now. Those who pray together, stay together. And I'll tell you chapters, Garth will tell you, I've been boring about this for a year. When men come together, we need to come together and we need to say nothing, eat nothing. We need to sit down and just begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. You get five men together that pray in the Holy Ghost for half an hour, and I'll tell you what, the mother-in-law will ring you up and say, forgive me. I'm telling you. I'm telling you. The windows will start to shake and things will start to move because we're called to establish something in the Spirit. Amen? We're not having any more leaders in this nation, in this ministry, being overtaken by sickness and illness. There's no mortgages in heaven. There's no sickness. There's no demonic activity. Amen? There's only glory. There's only hope in the promise ahead. Amen? If you're sick, you'll be healed. Amen? Oh, I don't believe that. Well, that's why you're not healed. Amen? Amen. Don't ever sell God short. I'm telling you, if you're dead, he'll just raise you up. So if you're a funeral director, get ready. You might have some adversity. But I'm telling you in the Holy Ghost to encourage you today. If you've taken up a position in your chapter and you're beginning to pray, then cut down the trees that bear no good fruit. Cut them down around you. But take up a position and begin to pray, and God will give you the land. Amen. I don't know half of you people. I know you come from New Zealand and some from Australia and some from England. But I don't know you personally. But I know this. When I sense to pray for you, I will. And the less we know about people and the more we pray for them, the better it is. because in our human understanding in this nation, we want to know everything about him. How many times he changes his underpants in a day and all that sort of thing. It's a nonsense. Just pray for the brother. Because when you pray, you can change the nations. Amen? When you worship, you can win the nations. Those who worship in the spirit and in truth will see liberty come. You know, if you leave this conference this weekend and you haven't got what you came for, then that's your problem. Amen? Because God's here and he said, I'll do it, but you come and ask me. He said, I'm not going to force your hand. Amen. In 1999, after a massive aneurysm, being dead for that long, blind for 18 days, when he said these words to me in the worship service after 26 years in God, I thought I had it. He said to me, will you lay it down? I said, lay down what? He said, will you lay it down? I had an argument with him. You ever had an argument with God? And I thought, oh, well, it'll stop in a minute because it's going to stop. It was in the worship service in the morning, but Pastor Bernie George just carried on. The worship went on. And on, and on, and on, and I kept arguing. When I finally said to Father God, all right, I'll lay it down. He said, I'm serious. Are you going to lay it down? I said, right now. And I knew something had broken in the spirit. You know, you can't go anywhere, you can't pick anything up unless you first lay it down. And if what's been shared this morning is right, then we've done the best in our understanding that we could. But we're moving in the book of Hebrews and the old covenant is no longer sufficient. So we are moving in the new covenant. And we just understand today, Lord Jesus, that there is something you want to do amongst the business fraternity in New Zealand. And this adversity that's come upon the nation financially, Lord, has become the opportunity that we have seen. Lord, when men are beginning to shudder now and they look at the bank balance and their faith is nowhere near the overdraft, Lord. Father, I understand right now that you're going to use this to win many, 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 many businessmen. And out of this, Lord, many Anzac businessmen will go to many nations. And you will use them, Lord, like they never believed. Lord, many men here today felt they've missed it. They haven't done what God's called them to do. But Lord, you're never late and you're never early. And right now, Lord, I declare there's no more sickness. There's no more lack. There's no more adversity for these people, Lord. Each one of these men here right now, we declare right now, we all come together right now, Lord, and we just acknowledge in the Spirit today that you are the King. You are King of Aotearoa. You are King of Aotearoa. This is your nation. We're going to take this in your time, Lord God. But in your time, you're never late and you're never early. I pray, Lord, that we be caused to hear you, to hear your voice speak to each one of us individually. And I thank you for my brothers, Lord Jesus. I thank you for my brothers. Well, my friend, I'm going to be quiet. So be encouraged. Be encouraged. Amen? Amen. Amen. Amen.
Well, getting stirred up in your spirit. You know, yesterday, a little bit of a battle going on the inside of me, and I knew this thing was coming up, and we had Keith and Maureen come out of the picture, and Noel was flying around in circles somewhere over in the South Island. They cancelled his plane and left everybody at the airport, and it was all going to turn into custard, and I thought, oh, my goodness. So, you know, we came in last night and did some work, got some things done, and I got up this morning at 6 o'clock, and I went to the office because nice and quiet in there, and I sat down, and I opened my Bible, and I said, you know, the annual general meeting tomorrow, I just want to open with a word. And what Colin's brought today is basically that word, no more. You know, put a line in the sand and say no more. The devil doesn't cross it. And I believe that for many of us here this weekend, we've got to put a line in the sand and we're going to say no more. Because very often we accept the garbage that's dumped on us. And, you know, we were here just, my wife said the other day, looked over and saw a person and said, you know, that person has got a demonic burden upon them. But... you know, I'm not going to name the person or call them or do anything like that. But, you know, if you feel there's something upon your life and there's a pressure on you, there's going to be opportunity to be prayed for by these guys around here and this afternoon. You've got to grab it. Like Colin said, you can go away the way you came or you say, I don't know, do not want to stay the way I was. I want to change and come up and get prayed. So, you know, there'll be a lot of other guys here. They're going to have things to share. So some of you guys that might have something to share. And any other guys, just we'll just.
I'm a little bit like some of the guys that have talked this morning about, you know, where's the fellowship going? And You hear little words out in the community about the dinosaurs. But I don't think we're dinosaurs. I think we've got God. And the thing that I've heard this morning, we've talked about the vision for full gospel. We talked about it, but I want to read you from the book, The Vision, because the thing about vision is you can talk about the vision, but unless you say what that vision is, it doesn't come true. Every time you reinforce that vision, it builds. Now, I've been involved in starting chapters in Japan, and I've seen, you know, what you have to do to pioneer chapters. And repeating that vision, telling that story, is part of it. And I was challenged with Graham this morning about reading this book. I've got to pull it off my shelf and read it again too, because you have to do that every now and then just to reinforce the vision in your own heart so that you can go out and reinforce it in the chapters that you belong to. Take it and share it. So I want to tell the story. And it's not the beginning of the Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship. They had a meeting and it was a bit of a flop. It sort of got worse. The next few meetings got worse and worse, and poor old Demas was about ready to cry out to God, and he went aside and he just put the time into seeking God. And I want to read it and we'll see what happens. Where do we pick this up? So he's in his living room, and his wife comes in and starts playing on the organ in the corner of the room. As the music swelled through the little room, the atmosphere grew brighter. To my amazement, the ceiling of the room seemed to have disappeared. The cream-coloured plaster, the ceiling light, they were simply gone, and instead I found myself staring into the sky, a daytime sky, although it seemed to have been... although outside it must have been pitch dark. How long she played while I gazed into the infinite distance, I don't know. But all at once she stopped, fingers still resting on the keys, and began to pray aloud in tongues, a lovely, lilting, flowing message. By the way, I haven't heard message in tongues in our church for a long time. We go to a Pentecostal church, so, comment. She paused for a moment, and then in the same lyrical rhythm spoke in English. My son, I knew you before you were born. I have guided you every step of the way. Now I'm going to show you the purpose of your life. It was the Spirit's gift of tongues and interpretation given together. And as she spoke, a remarkable thing began to happen. Although I remained on my knees, I felt as if I was rising, leaving my body, moving up, away from the living room. Down before me, I could see the roofs of Downey. There were the San Bernardino Mountains, and over there, the coast of the Pacific. I was high up above the earth, able to see the entire country from west to east. But though I could see far, I could also see people on the earth, millions and millions of them, standing shoulder to shoulder. Then, just as a camera can zoom in on a football game and show first the stadium, then the players, then the very laces on the football, my vision seemed to move in on these millions of men. I could see tiny details of thousands and thousands of faces. And what I saw terrified me. The faces were set, lifeless, miserable. Though the people stood so close together, shoulders touching, there was no real contact between them. They stared straight ahead, unblinking, unseeing. And with a shudder of horror, I realized that they were dead. Then the vision changed. Whether the world was turning or whether I was travelling around it, I don't know. But now beneath me was the continent of South America, and then on to Africa, Europe, Asia. Once more, the startling close-ups occurred, and everywhere it was the same. Brown faces, black faces, white faces. Everyone was rigid, wretched, each locked in his own private death. Lord, I cried, what's the matter with them? Lord, help them. Afterwards, Rose told me that I'd said nothing, but in the vision it seemed to me that I wept and pleaded aloud. Suddenly, Rose began to speak. Humanly speaking, of course, she had no way of knowing that I was seeing anything at all. But what she said was, "My son, what you see next is going to happen very soon." The earth was turning, or I was moving around it a second time. Below me, again, were millions upon millions of men. What a difference. This time, heads were raised, eyes shone with joy, hands were lifted towards heaven. These men who had been so isolated, each in his own prison of self, were linked in a community of love and adoration. Asia, Africa, America, everywhere, death had turned to life. Then the vision was over. I felt myself returning to earth. Down below me was Downey, California. There was our house. I could see myself kneeling and Rose seated at the organ, and then the familiar objects of the room closed around me. I was aware of an ache in my knees and a stiffness in my neck. I got to my feet slowly and looked at my watch. It was 3:30 in the morning. "What happened, Demas?" Rose asked. "Did you hear something from the Lord?" "Honey, I not only heard, I saw." And I described the vision. Rose listened with tears glistening in her eyes. "Oh, Demas, don't you see? He's showing us that the fellowship is to go on."
Thank you. When I came up to this conference, one of the things that I had in my heart, deep in my heart, was prophetic ministry. And I got on the plane and Mike Bunt was with me and he handed a book from Demas about prophecy. And where have we gone, men? Where have we gone? What's happened to prophecy? I get up to here and by a strange set of circumstances, I had to go back down to the registry office and I run into a guy who's into prophetic ministry. And I thought, "Lord, what are you doing? This is amazing." We had dinner together and so it went on. Ken gets up this morning, prophetic ministry. Don't you see, men, what Noel was saying? The full gospel was birthed in a prophetic vision. Amen. Do you get it? Do you get it in your heart, not your head, in your heart? Get it right in there. We've lost the prophecy. We've lost the revelation. Revelation comes through prophecy. Paul said it is the greatest gift. When did you last hear a prophetic word in your fellowship, in a church? Right. I've done my little bit about that. I've really come up to tell you something else. As part of my job in full gospel, I'm one off the bottom. I'm a field rep. And because of that, occasionally get invited up to Dominion Council. And a couple of years ago, we were up there. And the word came out that that we're going to Napier. Praise the Lord. I've been here before. Remember Mark Rutland was here? Was it here? He was Hamilton, sorry. That's when the Holy Spirit broke out, didn't it, on a Sunday night. But anyway, Napier come up. And I'm sitting there and I quite often get a deep sense of discernment comes onto me, and I discern something in the spiritual realm. And when it comes, I get tears in my eyes. And I'm not putting this on. I can't stop it. And I got this vision of Parnia, and it said Parnia the reef is one of the things that's blocking this town, absolutely blocking. I heard this morning that somebody was up over this town praying this morning from full gospel, and they believe there's a spirit of witchcraft in there. Now, I think I've got some idea what I need to do about Parnia, and it's not to go and pinch it like somebody tried to do, but I'd be interested if somebody's really keen in this area and to the spiritual strongholds over town to just talk to me, and we might do something. I believe it's one of the spiritual things that's blocking this town. Hallelujah.